Okay, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and chapter 8 and 9 are about giving. And you're like, oh, nifty. I knew this was, I'm just visiting here, I knew it was this kind of church. Listen, respectfully, you don't know nothing about what you think you know, okay? I'm going to do an extended, before we jump into the word, I'm going to tell you some about our philosophy here. This isn't true of all Calvary chapels. I'm not speaking for Calvary Chapel Incorporated across the world. I'm just saying this is how we feel about it. And a lot of these verses we'll visit today and next week have shaped our thinking about giving. First of all, you're visiting, put your wallet away, put your pocketbook down. We don't take an offering on purpose, okay? We're not trying to, okay, well, you're here, good. Noses and nickels, that's what it's all about. We want to get all the chairs filled. We want to get the offering overflowing. Neither one of those things is true. Neither one of those things are true. That's not what motivates us. We want you to be introduced to Jesus Christ, and if you already know him, we want you to be more closely, know him more closely related to him. That's the whole thing, okay? You say, well, this is the bottom line, Adam. I'm never going to give, not even so much as a penny. You're very welcome here. Okay? Are you calm now? We're going to tell you what the Bible says, but we're not going to beat you up for money. Why? Because a lot of people do that, and we don't want to be one of them. And I think they really misrepresent God as somebody who's like just on the verge of bankrupt. And if you don't give, this ministry's going under. Listen, if you don't give, apparently you don't want to be here, you don't want this to go on. When we stop having enough money to meet the bills, we'll close the doors. And I've made this commitment to God when I was first called into this. I'm like, God, I don't want to be a beggar. You're going to have to provide what we need. And he's like, I got it. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You don't get nerved up about this. Don't misrepresent me. We had this discussion, and I'm like, I'm never going to beg. And he's like, amen. Amen. That's not what he wants here. And we're never going to be about that. Okay? So we don't take up a collection. People who want to give, they always find the way to do that. Okay? And we're not gigging people for money. Now, the churches that do, I just found this out last week in my study. The churches that, like, they're always on you. They have, like, January. Every Sunday, every teaching in January is going to be about the tithe. And you've got to give, and we're going to have a membership list, and we're going to post what you give in the foyer, so shame you if you don't give up. And churches that do that, they bring in about as much per capita as people who rarely or ever talk about giving. You say, so why are you talking about giving? It's the next verse, and we go verse to verse to verse. And we're not weird about it. The Bible has things to say, and we have things to learn about it. And at the end of this, nobody's going to be some high-pressure salesman trying to squeak a few more dollars out of you. Okay, so we calm now, because like I say it's about giving, everyone's like, uh-oh, brace for impact. No, you should know better. You should know God better. And if you've been around here for a while, you should know me better. But you're not around here for a while. You're just visiting. So that's why I give you this preamble, okay? And as we go through here, I'll talk a lot about some of these things. I mean, like what has shaped our philosophy about finances, about giving, about... They come from a heart that wants to promote the Lord and sorely doesn't want to misrepresent him. Now, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look. Now, verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Everything we do, we're representing. Represent well. It's very important to us. And so that's not the only verse, but that's one of the ones that helps shape our thinking. Now, in chapter 8, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. Oh, my goodness, we do you to wit. What do you do with that? Hey, I want to tell you something. That's all. I'm going to inform you. Let me let you know. I'm going to tell you about the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, to their credit, I should say, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now let's unpack this. This is one of these places where the King James doesn't shine. You have to bring it up to modern day English before we even start, you know, unfolding it, unpacking it, see what it's about. Paul is taking up, in all the churches he visits, he's taking up a big collection to bring to the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. There's a great dearth there. So he's taking all the Gentile churches, he's collecting a great sum of money to alleviate the problems that the Jerusalem church are facing for a couple reasons. He wants Gentiles to give to Jews to bridge that gap that doesn't exist except in the minds of a lot of people. We're all church. Jesus has already removed that dividing wall. In some scriptures, he's praying that, I pray that they'll receive it. It's coming from Gentiles. There's going to be pride involved. There's going to be people going to say, nah, I don't want that money. Get out of here with that. We don't need any help, thank you very much. And of course they do. And he wants the Jewish heart to be toward the Gentile believers. He wants the Gentiles' heart to be towards the Jewish believers. I want that too. Not only with Israel, I just don't want there to be any walls in any direction between races, between genders, between, right out. God is no respecter of persons. Hate, I don't care what direction it is, we don't want that around here. I will always call you on it. You're in private conversation with me, you say something about that I even think is anti-Semitic or racist or sexist, I'm going to call you on it every single time. That's not what we're doing around here. That's not what we're all about. Every time I'll call you on it, just so you know, okay? I get very upset about that too. So Paul's trying to bridge that gap, and so he's taken up this collection. Now, the Macedonian believers, and by the way, we can look at that in back. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 for a second, because this isn't the only place he says it. In verse 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so he's in Galatia, he's in Macedonia. He's everywhere. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up by him in store as God hath prospered him. Does that sound like a tithe, by the way? At some point, we're going to take up that idea, and it might as well be now. I'm not all about the tithe. Even in Calvary Chapel circles, if you go to Calvary Chapel chat room, there, very many churches are very, very big on tithe. You're not working for this church. You're not going to be employed as a secretary of this church. We're not going to make you an elder. You're just, forget about it. If you're not a tither, you're not. And there's big discussion, big debate about that. Adam, you pro-tithe? I keep backing up. I'm never going to go forward, but that's fine. When we first got saved, now listen, this is why we go verse to verse to verse to verse, for this reason. If we have somebody come and they teach on the tithe, they can do a fair job of putting you under the compulsion of tithe. It's easy to do. And then the next week, we get another visitor in here, and he comes and he tells you why the tithe is no longer enforced upon the Christians. And he can, you know, cite historically, he can cite Bible, and he can do a fairly good job teaching you why the tithe is no longer enforced on the Christians. And both, when you teach me about tithing, you may teach me something, or you may just teach me by what verses you pick out, what verses you emphasize, you're probably telling me more about your view than what the Bible says. But if we go verse to verse, we're going to cover all the verses. We're going to have a fair and balanced look at it. And it won't just be me, because I want a lot of money, and I think that it's very important that you give, and I think it's very important that you give a tenth, and so I'm going to, you see what I'm saying? So it's not even right what the Bible says so much as what I say. And I think that going verse by verse helps that. But here, he's saying, in chapter 16, Paul's saying, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Hey, I don't want to come, and I don't want to give this, like, you know, long, tearful, oh, please give, you know, and I just have it all done by the time I get there, as God hath prospered him. So people ask me, does God want you to tithe on the net or the gross? And I'm thinking, the Bible has nothing about withholding. Think about that. You know what I mean? It knew, the Bible knew that in America in the 21st century we would have withholding. The reason that is because your government are pirates. And if you had to write that check out every week, there would be open rebellion in the streets and blood would be shed. So they withhold it and then they give you a little bit back at the end of the year and whatever, okay? But the Bible knows nothing of that. And the question is, and I'll show you this morning, well, you want to be blessed on the net of the gross. And you're presupposing a tithe, and I don't. Now you're saying, well, so what, Adam? What do you give? Well, now that we're on the subject, well, tithe. That's in my thinking, kind of minimalistic. And this is what happened, okay? We got saved, right? And we heard the messages like everyone else heard. From Malachi, you're stealing from the Lord. You're stealing from the storehouses of the Lord. You'll test him now. He'll open windows of heaven. We bought into that. And God honored that. It's his word. We bought into that. We like lock, stock, and barrel. We said, okay, you know. And so I remember, and Susan tell you, she'll bear me out on this. I remember I was working in a shoe shop, you know, a woolen mill in 1982, and they slowed down to 3 days a week, and I was taken home, family of four, in 1982, $80. And we tithed. You're saying, that's crazy. We love the Lord. That was job one. We didn't buy groceries. We were all tithing. We got money aside, happy to do it. Love the Lord, happy to do it. Because I had a lot of people say, well, I can't afford it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't know. I know this, in the Gospels, this lady puts in like two mites or two farthings or two coins, pennies, in the denarii. King James, I don't know what they are, right? Small amount of money. She ain't got it. She wasn't tithing. I think she gave everything she had. And Jesus was very, very excited about that. No, honey, you take them and you keep them. Don't worry about that. We'll get these rich guys to give. No, Jesus was very excited about that because I hear people saying, you know, you shouldn't give if you... And I'm thinking like, really? You don't want to give people the blessing or the opportunity? I'm just here to tell you, in our world, that worked out very, very well. We were getting way behind in bills and we're still giving. I mean, you make $80 a week, you're not going to eat for that. Maybe in 1982, and the kids were small. When they're in high school, forget about it. That was $80. That was like a meal. Them kids, they were like crazy. But back then, it just didn't cover, but we always gave. And you got father and father and mine. What happened? God blessed. Imperceivably, small at first. I got a job at the shoe shop, and I was up to $5.25 an hour. I'm like, woohoo! Big doings, big money in the day. Well, from the $4 I was making at the woolen mill, it was a big, huge raise. And I went there and I got into a electrical apprenticeship. And I'm still giving the whole time. Years are going on. And we're poor as church mice. Who cares? I mean, so we didn't have a big, wonderful vacation. When we went out to eat, it had to do with, you know, usually a menu that you could drive by. Irish Steakhouse, or, you know. And we thought I was big. We loved that. We wouldn't care. We just adjusted our living. So I was working in a shoe shop. And it was $5.25 an hour. A friend of mine said, "Hey, electrical apprentices, they're hiring. You know, you want to jump into this and stuff." And so I applied and I got hired. It's me and Tom went through the same program. He's a year behind me because he's a young fella and I'm an old guy. But he was a year behind me, like, and we were like Bangor and Augusta. So I was in a Bangor class and I graduated in 90 or 91 or something. He was the next year. So it started out at $8.21 an hour, and I was at 5 1/4, and I thought I had died and went to money heaven at $8.21 an hour. But you see, the point is God is always providing. And so I was working like 2 weeks, and they said, "Hey, you want to work Saturday?" I'm thinking, time and a half, 8:20. Oh my goodness, yes I do. I'm going to take home this astronomical. And just God always meeting our needs, and always taking care of us, and always supplying. And we never had much. We never really did. I gave like a tithe because I was grateful. I loved the Lord and I wanted to see his work go on. That's all. And I had an idea this would come back to me at some time in this world and in the next. And I think the scripture this morning bears that out. So the questions about tithing and stuff like this, I don't believe in tithing and I practice it. You know what I mean? And don't get all hung up on numbers. I think, listen, for me, it's easy math, okay? That's all. You know, you say, well, 10%, give 2%. I don't care. Give nothing. I don't care. You want to be part of the blessing. And now we're looking at a situation. I'm not trying to brag. I just want to be open. I want to be very, very honest. I'm the guy who lives in a goldfish bowl. If we just tithe, that would be, we would cut way, way back to where our giving level is now. And I want to tell you something. God is good. If we didn't tithe, if we didn't give, we'd have more money for ourselves. We could get that new Xbox, whatever the thing is, and play Wizard of Warcrafts, whatever, and spend hours. We'd get very good at it. I guess that's the end game, if that's what we're trying to do. We could afford a better vacation, a better automobile, and I guess if that's your end game. And by the way, I'm not against you having a nice automobile, a nice vacation. Every time I say something like that, I always want to, you know, say, if God's blessing you with wealth and with good things and a nice house and a fine car and fine clothes, I'm not against any of that. I'm just trying to get, like, the priority. What's your heart? Because this is where we are. Now, back in 2 Corinthians 8, look, they gave in Macedonia. They have a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty. They didn't have a lot of money. They're like the widow who didn't have a lot. But their giving, it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They're real liberals, not a liberal today is someone who's very gracious and very good with other people's money. This isn't that. This is, they don't have any money, and they're giving it all away. Look at this. For to their power, to their ability, I bear witness, yea, and beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves. They didn't have anything given, they were given it all anyway. That's the idea. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Paul say, no. You guys, you'll have a lot. Just keep what you got. No, let us give. Ron, is anyone begging you to give every week? Please let us give. And we're like, no. So, see, can you imagine that? But think about the liberality here. Think about the generosity. Think about they're building the tabernacle, right? And so there's, okay, anyone wants to give to the work of the Lord? You know, we need gold, we need silver, we need this kind of wood, we need this kind of linen, we need this. And finally, Moses is so overwhelmed, he has to turn off the spigot and say, all right, no, stop. We have so much stuff here. And to your credit, I will say this. We're not, it's not that we need a lot. It's not that we want a lot. And if you give generously, it's a good thing. Because here's the thing. Let's just say this is how we figure, okay? And we've talked about this at length. If we had huge money coming in, let's just use in basic terms and easy math, okay? If we had $100,000 coming in, we got to pay the lights, we got to pay the heat, we got to pay what we got to pay, and then we think of, okay, how can we give this money away? That's what we do. Now, if instead of like $100,000 a year, let's say we get $1 million coming in, we just give away $900,000 more, plus whatever we're giving anyway. That's how we would do it. We'd give away 10 times as much because, we'd have gold-plated, and this place would be opulent, and we'd knock out, and we'd do, and we'd expand it. What? No. I remember when L.A. Marzulli came, I was showing him the place. I'm kind of, I don't know if I say proud. I'm happy that God has blessed us. I'm showing him, saying, we're going for rustic. We're not opulent. We're not, this is Maine, you know, people aren't impressed with opulence. We're going for rustic, and he goes, you sure hit it. I don't know what he meant, man. I don't know. I got to ask him about that. But that's how we are. That's how we want to be. We're not like, you guys got to give. We got a building project. We're going to build and we're going to expand and we're going to. You guys, listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever drive up and you see a thermometer on the lawn, keep driving. Adam lost his mind. Someone stole his brain while he wasn't looking. And if you come from that church, God bless you. Not around here. Not around here. Because I always think a thermostat, I always think somebody's sick. You know what I mean? We ain't doing it. I don't see anything in Scripture where, like, a thermometer and, okay, you got to give and you got to give and you got to give because there's a building project involved. The only thing I ever saw was, again, back in the idea of the tabernacle. And we ain't building a tabernacle. So forget about it. I just don't, if we need stuff, we'll save money and we'll build as we go. And if we don't, then we won't. Fair enough? Say, well, we should have bathrooms. We should have to go all the way. I say that. Nobody else hardly ever says anything like that. I'd like to have bathrooms in this building. And we're saving money. As we can do it, we'll do it. If not, we got bathrooms. I mean, we're not having, you know, we're bringing porta potties or nothing like that. I mean, oh, where am I? I'm not getting anything done here this morning. They were praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Please let us give. You ain't got nothing. We got something, and we can do something. Please let us give. That's a good heart. That's the right heart. Because I know, look, we're not a wealthy church. We're not. Oh, in Maine, we do well for some communities. I can compare. I can tell you of some places in Maine, like, you know, that are really hurting financially, that are really struggling, really up against. We do better than some, but we're not a rich community. I mean, we're not. I don't think we're poor, but we're not rich. But here, they're very poor, and they're just praying, please let us give you. All right, if you really have to. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This is a key, big verse, big verse. This is the key. You want to show me a generous church? I'll show you a church that first and foremost have given themselves to the Lord. This is what I'm after every week. This is what I'm after every single week. This is a big idea. Give yourselves to the Lord. Present your body a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. I'm yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything I own, all my time, all my everything is all yours. You show me a church that's doing that, I'm showing you a church with happy marriages. I'm going to show you a church that's where there's not really weird, crazy stuff going on, where like everything is healthy and functioning. When I give myself to the Lord, when I'm praying for the Spirit of God to fill me, He's not bringing me into weird, crazy places. Good things are happening. My marriage is going well. My job is, I know how to work a job, Spirit-filled. I know how to, all my relationships are working out better. My giving is what it should be. Everything. God takes and He redeems every aspect of our life. Give yourself to the Lord. What happens? Generosity here. Were they wealthy? No. But I don't think that's the important thing. Not as we hoped. First they gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The giving's up in churches that love the Lord. I don't know how else to say it. Inasmuch that we desired Titus that as that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. We're going to talk about starting and finishing here because that's kind of an important thing. Have you ever, and don't tell me no, no show of hands, please. Have you ever made a determination where you're teaching, looking at some verses here, and God really spoke to your heart? And you said, yeah, that's right. I got to, and you made a commitment to do whatever. And then a day or two passed and it kind of fell by the wayside. That ever happened? Only in all of our lives, and only in probably the majority of the times, and our growth is very incremental, and it's kind of fits and starts, and there's backsliding involved, and there's, well, I really mean to do that. And sometimes we make that commitment, we really do it, and sometimes we're like, well, and we, I mean, listen, you guys ever make New Year's resolutions? Come on. This year I'm going to be like so fit and trim, and I'm going to be running marathons by, maybe next year. We all do that about everything, about a lot of our, you know, and we start, and he's talking here about Titus. Okay, you made this commitment. I'll go ahead and finish off. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and diligence and knowledge and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? This giving grace. Hey, listen, you Corinthians, you are knocking it out of the park. I mean, I know you got diligence going on. I know you got knowledge. I know you got faith, utterance here is speech. Oh, you guys, you do that real well. You're speakers, man. Anyone knows what a Corinthian is when it comes to speaking. Well, you know what? I want you to be really good in this also. I want you to be really good givers. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion. Hey, listen, I'm not commanding you. Listen, this is a very, very big, important verse. I'm not commanding you. I'm not doing this by commandment. You got to give, and you got to give, and you got to give, because I said so, and it's a commandment. It's a commandment of the Lord. Now he's going to bring up Old Testament verses. No. Hey, I'm doing this. Listen, I speak not by commandment, but occasion of the forwardness of others, and approve the sincerity of your love. Well, how does this prove the sincerity of your love? Love is always proved by giving, only 100% of the time. So what do you mean? God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. I don't love you because I say I love you. It's always reflected in giving. Only always. I say I love the Lord. What did I do? I gave him some money. Oh, big whoop. I gave him me. And part of me was the last part that always gets sanctified, your wallet, right? Part of me giving him me was the financial aspect of it. Is that important? Yeah, I think so, because where your heart is, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I don't know how many of you guys pray for, like, Gospel for Asia. I do all the time. I don't know how many of you were here when we had that fundraiser and we bought that Jesus well. Wow. Every time somebody gets a drink of water in some village, they're going to think about Jesus Christ. And was your heart involved in that? Mine sure was. When I give, I make out checks. I don't make out any checks ever. Inept, okay? I put it on somebody's plate who knows what they're doing, okay, who can balance a checkbook. Don't leave me. You leave me, I'm going with you, okay? She makes out a check. I'm happy to do it. I earn the money. She makes out a check to Gospel for Asia. And she does. And that's my money. That's my heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And we pray for, oh yeah, Gospel for Asia. Oh yeah. So you make out a check for First Choice Pregnancy Center. Is your heart there? Is your prayer there? Is your love to, yeah. Oh, mine is. Yeah. Yeah. See how that works? Where the money goes, your heart follows. I mean, Jesus said that. Jesus knew that. And this is, I think, is speaking of that. And then, you know, therefore, as you abound in everything in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and that's true, and all diligence, and that's true, and in your love toward us, man, you guys are crazy in love with us. See that you abound in this grace also. I'm not speaking by command, by occasion, for the fullness of them to prove the sincerity of your love. I've been bragging about your love. Now you're going to have to follow through. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, and ye through his poverty might be rich. Look, the example he's given is Jesus Christ. You know this, and you know this too, by the way. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, was Jesus rich in heaven? He didn't want. Was all his needs met? Well, it's kind of hard to say for a God. He doesn't have needs. Was there opulence? Hey, the streets are gold, okay? Is God wealthy? Yeah, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The fullness of the earth is the Lord's. Yeah, God's, we could say wealthy. So Jesus came to earth, and he was like super wealthy, because I've heard it, all the health and wealth guys, you know. Jesus drove his humongous chariot, and he lived in this like way big house. And our homeless Jesus? What? No. I never heard a health and wealth guy preach this verse. They would avoid this like the plague. Jesus, he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That ye through his poverty might be rich. It's all about giving. God loved, he gave. Jesus loved, he gave. He was very wealthy, he became very poor, and through his poverty we might be rich. Well, I'm not that rich. Oh, no. Spiritually, he's given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. We're not one whit behind anybody, no matter how much money they make. in a spiritual way. And he has enriched me through his poverty, through his laying aside his excellent wealth, coming to earth, being poor, and making me very, very rich, very, very wealthy. Praise God. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have also begun, not only do, but also to be forward a year ago. Hey, you were ready to do this last year, and that's 1 Corinthians 16 where we read this. Now, you got to go ahead and do it now. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. It's time. That as there was a readiness to will, isn't that you? Isn't that me? We listen to the word, we're like, yay, I'm on board. Yay, sign me up, Lord. Count me in. I'm ready to do this. I'm on board. I'm all in. We say that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. And at some point, you got to pull the trigger and do what you say you were going to do. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says don't vow. I mean, if you do, it's not compulsory. You can vow this, you can vow that, and stuff like that. But then you have to do it. And if you don't do it, that's not like a really, really bad thing in the Old Testament. You've heard of vows. We do the same thing. By the way, vows don't. When you get married, you vow. And that's kind of important. That's a kind of big, important thing. When you're on a witness stand in the court, you swear. That's a vow. I vow to tell the whole truth is what you're saying. It's very important. People's innocence or guilt or their financial or their incarceration. I mean, there's a lot of things in the balance. That's a good time to take an oath. Don't take an oath. Don't take a vow. I swear to God. And we do that because it's like a bargaining chip. God, get me out of this pickle. I swear to God. And we start taking these oaths. We take these vows. It's a bad idea. You don't need a bargaining chip. He loves you. He's your father. And then when you don't keep up on it, now there's guilt. And now Satan uses that like a big club to beat you over the head with. That's a bad idea. But here he's saying this, hey, you got ready to do this, you got willing to do this, now do it, get on with it. And some part in our Christian experience, not only giving, because I mean, we've all said this one time, oh, I'm going to give this year, I'm going to do this, but this is the year that we're going to get together, we're going to pray, we're going to read the Bible every day, we're going to get together, we're going to have our family devotions, we're going to, whatever it is, go on ahead. There's a time for don't comfort yourself, because I'm not a legalistic person with you. With me, ultra-legalistic. No, I hold my feet to the fire. I got to. I can't be real lazy here. This is the thing. I'm saying, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I don't want to be this mouthy, well, I'm thinking about maybe someday, maybe. Because a lot of us, there were times in my life when I comforted myself with I'd hear a sermon and I didn't line up to where the scripture was saying, and I'd just sit there and I'd feel bad about it. I took comfort in the fact that I felt bad about it. And I thought, well, feeling is the same as doing. Well, it's not. It's not. He's saying, you began, you were ready about a year ago. Now do it. Go ahead and get on with it. Perform the doing of it. There was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. See, again, another tithing verse, right? You had a willing mind, but it's based on what you have, not what you don't have. I'm going to jump over to chapter 9, verse 6. We'll get there next week, hopefully. But this is kind of again, shaping our thinking on this. This I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. People ask me, is tithing incumbent on the New Testament church? Basically, they ask me that a lot of times because they don't want to. Sorry, that's the answer. And I will take them this verse. I'll let them off the hook. You say, why would you do that? Well, why do I want them to be guilted into giving? God loves a cheerful giver, as we'll learn next week too. But look at this. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. 10%, 20%, 2%, 20 bucks, nothing. Is that what you're purposing? That's up to you. No skin off my nose. I'm trying to build an empire. I'm trying to teach you about Jesus. And listen, when I talk about giving, I always figure like this. God doesn't need anything. I need to give. I need to be faithful. I need to take my God and give some of him away, lest he really become a god. Because I'm like everybody else. I could be a very covetous person. I could get very excited. Or get very, money's a big, and we can really get carried away with that. So what stops me from being idolatrous in that area is giving that away. As I purpose in my heart. And again, my 10%, that's how I feel. I think that's like kind of the floor, not the ceiling in my thinking. That's where I go from. So you're saying I got to give 10%? No, I'm not saying you have to give anything. But here's the thing. You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Hey, we planted a garden. I got 18 tomato plants. Anyone knows anything? It's 18? I like tomatoes. I know if I grow one, especially if it doesn't go so good, I'm out. I grow two, and I might go a little better. I might get one, I might get some tomatoes. But I grow 18. And it's not, I don't think that's a huge one. And by the way, I like the different varieties and stuff, and I want to see which ones do good. Like last year, I had a battle of the sexes tomatoes, early girl against best boy, and early girl blew best boy out of the water. But that's a story for another time. But I like tomatoes. I plant a lot of tomatoes because I wanted a lot of tomatoes. It's a very, very basic. You get that. Nobody here is arguing that point. Everyone says, yeah, I understand. So people say, what do you, is there a little tithe out of the net or out of the gross? I don't, whatever. You want to get, here's the thing, you want to get blessed on the net of the gross. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. I believe in reaping and I believe in sowing. I believe it in the natural. I believe it in the supernatural. I've given a lot of money and I think God will in the natural will give it back. But in the supernatural, there's going to be a day when I'm standing before Jesus Christ and he's going to ask me what I drove for a car or how fine my clothes were, what my jewelry looked like. He don't care about that stuff. I think he's going to, I mean, he cares because he blesses us. But I think that it's going to be on like, hey, what about this? And there's going to be stories to tell. I'm telling you, I think there's going to be Asiatics, some Indian people coming at me, hey, you don't know me, but let me tell you what happened. You wrote out a check, and let me tell you what happened. I'm sure of that. I'm absolutely sure of that. Listen, so I want to give bountifully. Why? Because it means so much to me in that day to reap bountifully. That's all. Now, how's that for compulsion? Am I guilty? Do you feel really guilty? Because I'm not trying. I just figured out a few things, and I figured this out early on. Me and God and 90% are bigger than me and without God and 100% of what I make. It just goes better. I heard, like you did. I heard all the and I bought in like, oh, I can't rob God and all this stuff like this, and so I knew that I don't make enough money now. You want 10%? What? And I heard the same like you heard, right? Tithe means 10th, by the way, if you don't know that, right? So I wrote, this will not work. I will show you why this won't work. Well, it did. I don't know how. I don't know why. There was no big, like I wrote out a check and I bought a lottery ticket and I won $1 million. That never happened. I think you got to buy lottery tickets to win them, okay? So I'm out right there. It's a bad idea in my thinking. It's a loser's game, all right? But story for another time. It wouldn't happen like that. Just, you get a 20% off peanut butter or something. I don't know how it works. So there was just enough. We did sometimes with a little less, and God blessed. And I wanted to always sow bountifully because I always thought there'd be a bountiful reaping. And by the way, I don't know that different yet. Let's go back to where we were anyway. I'm not going to get all this chapter finished. I kind of knew that going in. First of willingness, verse 12. And it's according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. Don't vow you're going to give $1 million every week and you don't make them, you know, have made your first million yet. Don't do that. I'm vowing, because like there's those guys who take that faith vow and you're going to give, what? No, we're not about vows. And I'm not trying to make you extremely poor. And by the way, it's the next verse. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. It's not that like you're rich and you work hard for your money and I want to make poor people rich and you become poor. It's not about that at all. there's a prominent party in America that's interested in that, and I'm not a member of that party. That's all I'm saying on that, okay? So unless somebody says I said too much. No. Christianity isn't communism. It's not. There was a situation in the early church in Jerusalem. There was a dire... it was on the Feast of Pentecost. There were people from all over the empire there at the Feast of Pentecost, as there would be, and 5,000 people got saved. And a lot of them stuck around. And that was extreme hardship, you know, and hospitality in that culture. It was extreme hardship on the church right at the beginning. And so that people were given out of there. And so some people, like, you know, sold lands and stuff like that, brought the apostles' feet and laid it all down, said, "Here, I think you can use this." I think that was wonderful, but the Bible isn't calling us to do that in any verses. I think you voluntarily doing that is a wonderful thing. Look, communist says, what's yours is mine. Right? Christianity says, what's mine is yours. It's voluntary. Hey, you can drive my car. You need a hand. You need this. You need some money. Let me write out a check. Let me help you out. Let me do what I can do. No compulsion. You get that, right? Do you remember when Ananias and Sapphira, they sold some land, and they said it was for this much, and it was, you know, and they only sold it for this much, and they kept this much, and they gave this much, and so they wanted, and Peter said, now the problem with that was Peter said, why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? Because they were trying to make themselves look more spiritual than they actually were. You sell a parcel land, you bring a nickel, would say, hey, thanks. You ain't going to fall down dead, you know what I mean? But the problem was they're lying to the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that it was incumbent upon anyone to sell all this stuff and to bring it and lay it off the church. We don't want that. Nobody's asking about that here. We're not trying to make rich people out of poor people on your back. No, that's not the answer at all. And by the way, we do stuff like food pantry, things like that. We want to help people who are poor, can't make ends meet. We're interested in that. You say, well, I work hard and I went to school and God bless you. Again, what do you want to do about it? You know, I want to reap sparingly. Well, that's fine. No compulsion, right? Because we've already gone over that. We're not about compulsion. And it's not about people getting wealthy, for I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened, but in equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. By the way, I think it's an equality in a tithe, because you make like $1 million, you give $100,000, that's a lot. But I think guy who makes $10,000 gives $1,000, I think that's a lot too. It's a lot in a different way. There's an equality there. And I'm not, again, pro-tithe. I'm just thinking, I see how that works out. Like, you know, people have a lot, give a lot. People don't have quite as much, don't give quite as much. Fair enough. But I don't think that's what the verse is saying. I think it's talking about, like, hey, you know, kind of what goes around comes around. Bible knows nothing of karma, except it does, but it doesn't call it that at all. There was a church in Staten Island that gave a lot of money and supplies and sent down tractor-trailer trucks when in New Orleans there was a storm, Katrina, when Katrina hit. And then when Hurricane Sandy hit, the churches in Louisiana were given to that Staten Island church that had given so much. It kind of, and it was even on Fox News, and they had, you know, the pastors and some of the people in both churches, and they was crying, and there was a lot of, because they know exactly what they were going through. Hey, you might want to do this, because sometimes it might be able to do a lot now, but you may be the guy who needs later on. Because, by the way, that's how life is. You know, you go to a wedding and they're promised in sickness and health, riches and poverty and all that stuff. And we know, we're laughing because we know all this stuff's going to happen. We've been around for a while. We say, oh yeah, you're going to get all that and more. Don't you worry. And that's how life goes, isn't it? It's kind of cyclical. Kind of, you know, you're up and you're down and you do this and yeah. So sometimes you're on the giving end and you should give liberally, because sometimes you might, God forbid, but sometimes you may be on the receiving end. Like that church in Staten Island, they don't know about Hurricane Sandy. They didn't know nothing about that. But they were getting, and they were receiving, and they were really happy to have the stuff. And Paul's saying, that's how it works out. You may supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And he uses this, and we're going to end here. As is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over. He that had gathered little had no lack. Why? Because, you know, at the end of it all, God's going to have his say in it. And he's using an example from Exodus with the manna. You notice why there's no enterprising Jewish guy who hide all the neighborhood kids. Okay, you know, get them up at 4 o'clock in the morning, manna fell at, you know, 5:17 or whatever, and he get them all, or, okay, when you see the manna, go collect it all, you know, and come and bring it to me, and I'll give you this much money, and then it's like, step right up, Adam, Honest Adam's manna sale right here, and, you know, and I charge him, gouge him, because you got to have food, right? Wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. God would make sure it wouldn't work. Because the ones who gathered a lot, they had nothing over. The ones who gathered a little, it just seemed to go and go and go and meet all their needs. You couldn't gather for 2 days because it would bred worms and stank, and I think there's something about that. God doesn't want you living on yesterday's blessing. He wants you each and every day to seek him every single day. But there was a quality to this. The way God rains on us is a quality to that. Did you get like a lot of rain this morning where you lived and we only got a little where we live? Oh, it'll all work out. I mean, you know what I mean? God really loves us, and he hates our neighbors. It was pouring on us. My God, I could see the tomatoes just going. And next door, he don't like them at all. It didn't even rain on their house. Right? Is that how it works? No. There's an equality about, you know, if it's based on the love of God. Listen, did God offer more Jesus to you than he did to your neighbor, the one sitting next to you, or to me for that matter? There's an equality to this, isn't there? God loves us, the whole world. He so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And by the way, how close you want to get to Jesus, that's up to you. Pig out. God's not holding you at arm's length. He's no respecter of persons. He's blessing us to it all. Even though if you gather up all this and gather and work hard and gather, you say, you got enough. And you can gather up quite so much, you got enough. You see how that worked out? Because it worked out in Exodus, and I think it works out to us. Because here's the end of the day, thinking like, I won't have enough. He's like, no, you will. You will. I'm that kind of God. I know how to bless. I know how to take care of people. I know how to make it all come out good. You really can. Trust me. Listen, what's our takeaway? Give yourself first. I ain't even talking about finances. It'll take care of itself. Give yourself to the Lord. Well, but if I write out a check and I won't have, I know how to bless. You want to sow sparingly? You're going to reap sparingly. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you the end from the beginning. So when you get there and there's nothing, I told you that it was going to happen. How come you didn't give yourself to the Lord? And now, it doesn't feel a little bit better about this now? Because I'm sorry, we're going to talk about giving. Everyone's like, uh-oh, brace for impact. God loves you. You can be generous. He'll take care of you. Do I want your money? Not at all. Not at all. And I will say this. I'm going to end here. When you talk about finance, everyone's like, yeah, sure. You, the guy at front, yeah, I know. I see why you want finance. I don't. I work for a living. I have a 40-hour or more, this week I'm going to be working 12 hours a day or more every day. I have a job that pays well, comparatively. I'm not wealthy. You see the car I drive. You see the clothes I wear. I'm not opulent, you know. But I do okay. God's blessing me. But the board said, if you get them to give and you get extra 10%, we're going to up your raise every... No. For years here, I didn't collect the salary. Everything was on me. Like, I was in comp for my gas coming down here 3 times a week. I didn't collect anything. It was all labor of love. It was all giving. God took care of me. Now, they give me a housing allowance. It's not enough for me to live on, frankly. It's not like a salary. It's something, and I appreciate it. Don't think I don't appreciate it. But it's not what the, because they say, well, we can't afford that. We're taking it away. And so, yeah, okay, whatever. Would it change anything? No. We did this out of our own pocket when we were, and if it goes back, that's fine. It's not about us gigging you for money. It's not about nickels and noses. It never was. I'm zealous of you being faithful to the Lord. I'm zealous. I want to see you on that day have an abundant entering in. I want to see you like reap like a crazy person and just, I mean, sow like a crazy person, reap like a gazillionaire. I want to see blessing to your account. I really, really do. Anyone who loves you would want that. You say, well, you haven't convinced me. I'm not giving a penny. You're welcome here. God bless you. I don't handle money. Ron, do I know how much anyone gives? Ron's, no. I don't ask. He doesn't tell. I don't know if I'm talking to a room full of people who are crazy givers. I don't know if I'm talking to a room full of tightwads. I don't know. I know some people, but I don't know anything. Do I know if you give? Do I know how much you give? No. I want to keep it that way. My motives are absolutely pure. This isn't about anyone. Nobody's getting rich here. I get a housing allowance. Nobody else gets anything. Nobody's Ron lying in his pockets. And, no. He'll go to jail. And we do everything very, very good accounting. We want to do everything like extremely above board, and I think we do that. If there's any questions, ask Ron. I mean, he has the budget, and he would happily, I think, we never talk about this. I think he would show you. There's no secrets. Nobody's doing anything behind any closed doors, and there's no skullduggery, nothing like that. We're very open. I'm the guy, again, lives in a goldfish bowl. But I want to tell you, when I'm talking about giving, I don't know, don't want to know. I do just want you to be blessed by God. I do want that. I said enough, and our time's gone, so Matt's going to come at this time and send us out of here in song. We will pray. If I'm going to stand. Lord, we love your word. We love that you've promised certain things. We love that your nature of who you are, you know how to bless. Nobody's your debtor. We get things like that. But Lord, you know, if the takeaway from this, if everyone gives themselves to you, I, for one, would be eminently overjoyed. And Lord, I give myself to you afresh. I offer myself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. It's only reasonable. It's only my reasonable service of worship. It's only expected. You've saved me, Lord. I'm going to live my whole life grateful to you for this great salvation. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.